Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packer people? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for being here today. We are going to be discussing the penultimate training camp practice for the Packers. I cannot believe I'm saying that already. Practice number 17. Practice 18 will be on Wednesday. Today, as you're listening to this, it will not be open to the public. I will actually not be there. It sounds like it's mostly going to be a walkthrough, taking a vacation day with the kids to have one last summer hurrah before they start school next week. We will have Paul Brettel on tomorrow, who will be attending practice to cover everything that happens. So you will still have everything covered, I promise. Then you have the final day of actual training camp practice, meaning that's actually open to the public. And that will be on Thursday, which will be Packers-Ravens joint practice before then preseason finale on Saturday. It is all coming to a close insanely fast. And then, of course, next Tuesday already is cut down day. So we have a lot to discuss, primarily today talking about practice number 17. Before we get there, quick shout out to both Pete Kennedy and Travis Mack for becoming brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members. Appreciate you guys a ton. Thank you for signing up. Hope you're enjoying the extra content, the early videos, everything like that that comes with it. Make sure to check out those YouTube memberships if you have not done so as of yet. Also, fun announcement. I think I've gone over this already, but I probably haven't done so enough. This Thursday, August 22nd, I'm just going to be doing a super casual training camp meetup over at the Distillery in Green Bay. It'll be obviously well after practice has taken place. So if anyone's in town for the joint practices and the preseason game on Saturday, and they're here on Thursday already, and you want to come out, have a Wisconsin Old Fashioned or whatever your weapon of choice is. Maybe it's Sprite, maybe it's Dr. Pepper, maybe it's something a little bit more hard, whatever it might be, come and join on Thursday, 6 p.m. Green Bay Distillery. Like I said, it's going to be super casual. I'm just going to go sit down, grab a drink at the bar, and anyone that wants to come up and chat Packers, say hello. That would be beyond amazing. So hope to see some of you guys there. So those are our big news pieces and disclaimers for the day. Let's get into actual practice and everything that happened on Tuesday, starting with Matt LaFleur's press conference. Two things, nothing noteworthy or major, I guess, here of any real note, but a couple of smaller things. One, he did basically say kind of what I had assumed going into this week, that the starters on Saturday, whether or not they will play against the Ravens, will be determined based off of the week of practice this week. And that, I'm sure, includes Tuesday and Wednesday, but probably primarily how they go against the Ravens on Thursday. If I had to guess, and I'm sort of reading between the lines a little bit here, but this is my hypothesis going into the week, is if they do not practice well against the Ravens on Thursday, I think they will get their starters some playing time. I don't think you want to have bad joint practice Broncos, bad practice Broncos, bad joint practice Ravens, and then just go into the Eagles after that. I think they would give their starters some time if that were to be the case. I think if they go out and play great against the Ravens in that joint practice, I think you will likely not see the starters in that final preseason game. So TBD on that, but that's basically, again, what I kind of gleaned from Matt LaFleur in Tuesday's press conference. He also was asked about this new defensive scheme, and one of the things he just kind of said, and it wasn't, I wouldn't say like a throwaway line or anything, but it was just sort of like caught in the middle of what he was saying. But he said, quote, "Devontae Wyatt has really excelled in this scheme." That's a pretty strong word. It's not Devontae Wyatt's doing well in the scheme, or we've seen some early results from Devontae Wyatt in the scheme. Devontae Wyatt has, quote, excelled in this scheme. That is a great word. That is, you know, I think gives a lot of people a ton of hope going into this season for what Devontae Wyatt can become. We all understand and know that the talent is there and prevalent with Devontae Wyatt. He has it in spades. There are not many human beings that can move at his size the way that Devontae Wyatt moves. He's explosive. He's dynamic. He can get into the backfield. He can cause chaos. He has the ability to hold up against the run. He needs to do it more consistently. But I do think that this attacking scheme, and this is one of the players that we highlighted with a huge asterisk and, you know, yellow highlighter and every other flashing, you know, thing that we could put next to it. If there was one player to potentially benefit from this scheme change, it would be hard pressed to find somebody more than Devontae, because in a large part, he was built for more of this scheme, an attacking gap penetrating defense where you can get upfield and cause chaos. That is Devontae Wyatt. So he fits perfectly. And it is great to hear that Matt LaFleur says that he is excelling in this scheme so far. Let's begin practice, I should say, with an injury update and some transactions. So bad news first. These are new players that were out injured at practice on Tuesday. Andre Dillard with a shoulder injury. Now, per Rob Domofsky, it is not considered serious, and hopefully he is back sooner rather than later, but a non-serious shoulder injury for Andre Dillard. AJ Dillon is out with a stinger injury. So we need to sort of rewind back to Sunday's game where we said, hey, maybe we need to start talking about AJ Dillon as a lock on this roster because he did not play. And if he is not a roster lock, you would give him every opportunity to go out and play in that preseason game. Well, we can erase all of that because it sounds like he was out with a stinger injury and is now out of practice with a stinger injury. And of course, this raises a little bit of concern with the running back room because now Marshawn Lloyd and AJ Dillon are both out. Now you still have Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson, but you start to get a lot more thin at that position if two of your guys are missing. And we saw that a little bit at practice on Tuesday. So Dillon out with a stinger. Tyler Davis was out with a shoulder injury. So he gets his first game action back coming off the torn ACL as a little bit of a tough performance. And I say that kindly, against the Broncos, and then exits with a shoulder injury and is now not practicing. That's a pretty noteworthy, I guess, injury, to say the least, because he's definitely very much involved in that tight end competition and in line, I think, for a 53-man roster spot, or at least right on the verge at worst. Preston Smith was out with an illness, thankfully only an illness. I'm sure not thankfully for him. I'm sure he wouldn't like to be sick, but better than a long-term injury for sure. And then Spencer Waggie was out with a concussion as well. So your new injuries in total, Andre Dillard with a shoulder, AJ Dillon with a stinger, Tyler Davis with a shoulder, Preston Smith with an illness, and Spencer Waggie with that concussion. Players who were still injured, Keyshawn Banks, defensive end slash edge rusher, Marshawn Lloyd we talked about, and then Raylan Goforth, who was out with the concussion from Sunday's game as well. The one player who returned from injury, Edgerrin Cooper, he was only doing individual drills, but still a solid step in the right direction for Cooper. He was excited to be back out there. He did see some time in walkthroughs with the starters, rotating in those nickel spots, but we'll see like kind of one day at a time. Let's get him back into team drills first at some point and then kind of go from there. But just great to see him back at practice in any capacity. And then Jarvion Howard was released with an injury settlement, so he is no longer on the roster. Technically, he will get, as we talked about, waived injured. Nobody is likely to claim him. He will revert to injured reserve and then get released with an injury settlement. And then from there, he would be free to sign with other teams once he is healthy. And then they did add back one player who was released earlier in the offseason. That is Henry Pearson, the fullback slash H-back. He is back on the roster and back at Packers camp. So just to recap it really quick one more time, new injuries, Dillard, Dillon, Davis, Smith, and Waggie, still injured, Banks, Lloyd, and Goforth, returned from injury, Edgerrin Cooper, released injured, Jarvion Howard, new roster addition, or at least a player coming back, is Henry Pearson. All right, your starters in team drills, Jordan Love at quarterback, Josh Jacobs at running back, Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, and Dontavian Wicks at wide receiver, Tucker Kraft at tight end, Rashid Walker at left tackle, Elton Jenkins at left guard, Josh Myers at center, Sean Ryan at right guard, and Zach Tom at right tackle. Defensive ends, Rashawn Gary and Kingsley Enagbare, with Preston Smith being out, TJ Slayton and Kenny Clark, Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie at linebacker, Stokes, Nixon, Jair at corner, Bullard and McKinney at safety. The key takeaway here, it was Enagbare who got the start opposite Rashawn Gary, not LVN, right? So Preston's out. You could go with LVN. You could go with Enagbare. It was Enagbare. And quite frankly, I think deservedly so. I think Enagbare is just a little bit of a step ahead of LVN at this point, just being a little bit more of a well-rounded player and what he can bring to the table. So not super surprising, but a little bit noteworthy that it was in fact Enagbare and not LVN starting opposite Rashawn Gary. What is up, everybody? We are back with another exciting week of Prize Picks action. And if you have not started playing Prize Picks yet, what are you waiting for? You need to sign up right now and you will quickly realize why it's America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Now that Team USA has brought home the gold, WNBA basketball is ready to heat back up, and it's already been a huge weekend from Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And right now, you could turn $10 into $1,000 while watching the stars tear it up in the WNBA. And did you know that you can set your lineup in as little as 60 seconds? Just pick more or pick less on a player's stat projections, and you are locked in. Prize Picks is available in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and of course, Wisconsin. This week, I'm going with Kelsey Plum and Arike Ngumbawale in what should be a massively fun week of basketball on Prize Picks. And the best part is that you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. As many of you know, a few years back, the Milwaukee Bucks were in the NBA Finals, and I desperately wanted to go to Game 6 in Milwaukee to see them win the championship. As you can imagine, prices were insane, and I kept going back and forth with different apps to try and find the cheapest tickets possible. I finally found them, clicked purchase, and of course they were gone. Goodbye Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Now, thankfully, the day of the game, I was able to find a ticket, but the entire thing was so expensive and way too stressful. I really wish I could have simply used Game Time to alleviate all of the stress and all of the hassle. I've started using Game Time app for purchasing all of my tickets, and I wish I would have done so sooner. From low prices to easy to find tickets to last minute ticket deals, the Game Time app is perfect for all of my ticket needs. Game Time is the fastest growing ticketing app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seat before you buy, you can buy tickets in a matter of seconds, two clicks only in fact, and tickets are sent directly to your phone so you never need to dig through your email. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. That's code PACKADAY. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
All right, the big key takeaway from this practice in general was the offense's overall performance. They, I would almost argue, overwhelmed the defense early and often in this practice. This was my list of notes in order for what the offense did against the defense. There's not missing plays here. All right, so it started off with two really nice runs by Josh Jacobs. And when I mentioned at the very like first week of practice where I'm like, I just don't see maybe that same spark, it did not take long. He is back. I think it maybe took him just a week to sort of get back in the swing of things. I don't know if it's a, you know, getting in shape sort of thing. I don't really care, quite frankly. He looks spry. He looks agile. He is jump cutting. He is doing everything. He looks like Josh Jacobs that you would expect Josh Jacobs to look like. It's been a ton of fun, and you can tell he's really starting to hit his stride. I am much, much more excited about what is to come with Josh Jacobs in this offense once they get to Brazil and take on the Eagles in that first week. But he starts with two really nice runs, well blocked up front as well. Then you had all the time in the world for Jordan Love, and he hits Romeo Doubs on a deep crosser with Eric Stokes trailing him in coverage. I love the pocket and protection on really the entirety of the day from the offensive line. But on that particular play, Love had all day. Doubs came across on the deep crosser. Love hit him in stride, and there was nothing Stokes could do about it. Nate McCrary then got a carry with the ones. He had a nice burst, got a solid gain on that run. Love to Doubs in stride down the deep right sideline. Now, this is one of those where practice game, it might be a little bit different. Love hit Romeo perfectly in stride. All right, so this is one of those sort of, I didn't see the defense, so I can't say it 1,000,000% for sure, but it looks like a cover two shot where you're going up the right sideline, the corner leaves you, the safety's ranging over the top, and you've got to kind of hit it in that John Gruden turkey hole. That's my guess as to what it was. Again, I didn't see the play develop defensively, but just based on the coverage and how it looked at the end, that'd be my guess. But he hits him perfectly in stride, but Xavier McKinney was ready to arrive at the exact same time. In a game, Xavier McKinney is going to put a hit on Romeo Doubs. Now, Romeo still could have come down with it. You know, he's going to feel it, but he could have come down with it. I don't know that I would consider that a bad idea by Jordan. He put it right on Romeo, and it's a perfect pass one way or the other. It had no chance of being like intercepted or anything like that, but Xavier McKinney would have definitely got a good hit on Romeo. So I guess weigh that one out a little bit, but it was a perfect throw down the right sideline to Romeo Doubs, and it ended up being a big gain on the play with McKinney letting up and not taking out Romeo Doubs on that particular play. Love then completed to Jaden Reed, then another really nice run by Josh Jacobs. Then one of my favorite plays of the day was, and we'll talk about this more in just a moment, but Jordan Love hits Tucker Kraft on a crosser. He accelerates across the field, gets upfield, and gets a really big gain on the play. You then had Love to Doubs in one of the few errant throws of the day, and I think actually the only errant throw of the day for Jordan. This is one where he's got Romeo along the sidelines coming on probably a crosser. It was actually probably a deep out, even just an out, I would say. And he had Doubs. Should have been an easy completion along the sideline. Was well behind him. Doubs did adjust and get both hands on the ball. This is one of those where I talk about all the time more in season of there can be a bad play by one player, but can another player make up for it, right? This was a throw that was well behind Romeo, but Romeo had the ability to bail Jordan out, make the catch anyway, and get both feet down and make the completion. It's in his hands, right? So now, Romeo's going one way. He's expecting it to go that way. He has to slow and turn his body completely, get his hands behind him, and try to make an adjusted catch. It's a tough play. I would put this more on Jordan than I would certainly put it on Romeo. But Romeo, like I said, could have bailed him out a little bit, made the play. He didn't. It ends up being an incomplete. It was really like the only bad play by the offense in this like entire stretch of plays here. So after that one, you had Love to Watson over the middle for a big completion, a leaping grab by Christian Watson. This is another one where Quay could have levied a hit on Christian Watson and wisely did not and let up on the play. This one is one that I would absolutely argue is a job description play for Christian Watson, meaning you go over the middle of the field, you're going to have to go up and get the ball sometimes, and you're going to take a hit from a linebacker from time to time. It was not in one of these situations where a safety's coming downhill full speed and is just going to lay him out and be a complete hospital ball. But by the time he got down on the ground, Quay Walker would have been there, and it would have been like more of like a tackle, but he would have been able to hit him, right? But that to me is a job description play for a wide receiver over the middle of the field. That's going to happen in the NFL. You can't just be like, oh, we're not going to throw the middle of the field because you might get tackled from time to time. That's going to happen. So I didn't think that was like a hospital ball by Jordan. That was just a good, clean play. And in a game, Quay Walker would have been right there to say, hey, I'm here and you're going to feel this a little bit. But Watson would have, I'm sure, dealt with it, hung on to it, and went on to the next play because that's kind of what you do in the NFL. But thankfully, on this particular play, Quay did not light him up. You then had, you're not going to believe this. You are not going to believe this. A extremely successful screenplay to Tucker Kraft on the right side. Well blocked, gets upfield, explosive play for Tucker Kraft. Probably went for 25, maybe even more yards on the play. So that was gorgeous. You then had Love complete to Luke Musgrave. Not a major gain, but just a short completion, but kind of kept the momentum going. Love to Jaden Reed on a wide receiver screen that was also blocked, and he probably picked up about 10 yards on the play. And then you had, Finally, the defense gets good pressure on Jordan Love. He steps through the pocket, sees somebody that's about to close in on him, looks like before he even looks left, he starts his arm motion at the very last second. This is basically like a no look pass to the left, but at the very last second, looks left, sees Tucker Kraft. He was going to throw it basically anyway, but he's already started his arm motion, looks left, Kraft's there, rips it, and gets it out to him in the flat for probably 2-3 yards on the play. But what could have been a sack, he finds his check down, gets it over to him, and it ends up being a positive play rather than a sack for the defense. Just play after play after play of in-rhythm offense, quite easily the best stretch of play that we have seen from the offense all offseason long. That's sort of the offense that we have come to expect, at least towards the end of last year, and I think are expecting going into this year. And what do we say? Jacobs, Doubs, McCrary, Doubs, Reed, Jacobs, Kraft, Doubs, Watson, Kraft, Musgrave, Reed, Kraft. Like, not, maybe completely spread around because we didn't get any Dontavian Wicks in there, but pretty much everyone else, right? Both tight ends, almost every other primary wide receiver, your first and number two running back in that group, it was McCrary. Don't read too much into that, by the way. This is one of those where they kind of snake it, like I talk about. Jacobs was the number one running back, and then Emmanuel Wilson was the number two. So he was down with the number twos, getting all the primary carries over there, because it's better to get all the carries with the two, basically, than maybe two or three carries with the ones. So Wilson was down there, then Merriweather was backing up Wilson down on that end, and then McCrary is backing up Josh Jacobs, knowing that he's only going to get a couple plays, and McCrary did, and he made that play. But they basically spread the ball around, got everyone involved, and the offense looked really, really good. Paul Bredel, per his recap of practice, had Jordan Love going 14 for 17 on the day, arguably, again, his best day of training camp so far. All right, two-minute drill. You had the Packers down by three, or the offense down by three. Jordan Love and the ones are going down the field. He starts by hitting Luke Musgrave in the flat. Clock continues to tick. Gets a short completion to Josh Jacobs. Clock continues to tick, but they get the first down on the play. Then you had Love to Romeo Doubs. Short gain, but got out of bounds on the play. Then Jordan Love to Josh Jacobs. Also, once again, out of bounds and was able to pick up a first down. That left them with 41 seconds left. First and 10, down three, ball on the opposing 40-yard line. So they're getting into field goal range-ish. That would have been a 57-yarder right there. You have a screen to Tucker Kraft. First down, clock ticks, and then Jordan Love clocks the ball. So 15 seconds left, ball on the 29, no timeouts left. The next play, he goes for Christian Watson, but Jair and Christian Watson, their feet kind of get tangled. Looked like Love was basically throwing the ball away anyway. That ball was incomplete. Then Love tries to hit Jaden Reed down the left sideline on a back shoulder play. Reed never really located it. I think Love left it probably a little bit short on purpose just to keep it out of harm's way. And then that brought on the field goal unit. They had all three kickers try the attempt. Anders Carlson made his. Greg Joseph made his. Alex Hale missed his. So two out of three times they would have tied the game. Overall, it was a solid drive for the ones getting down there and getting into field goal range for the opportunity to tie the game. From there, they went into red zone work. They only had three plays in the red zone. The first one, Jordan Love to Christian Watson over the middle, incomplete, great coverage by Keyshawn Nixon, good pressure up front. And Watson maybe would have had a chance to make a crazy, spectacular one-handed play, but it would have been an insane play. Like, tough play, good play by the defense, incomplete. Then Love went to Romeo Doubs in the red zone, a play that has worked a ton in camp. Like, it is a super anticipatory throw, and he throws it with, again, great anticipation. Doubs breaks his route off right at the, like, corner of the goal line, like the very, I guess, like right at the beginning of the goal line, right near the out of bounds line. So he comes back and Love threw it on target, but Jair just too good all over it, breaks up the pass, incomplete, phenomenal play by Jair Alexander. And then the play of training camp so far, Jordan Love back to pass, looks over the middle of the field, sees a receiver, but Quay Walker jumps up, tips the ball goes backwards into the waiting arm. And I say arm because Elton Jenkins claims it was a one-handed catch. It looked a little bit more two-handed to me, but either way, Elton Jenkins makes the catch. And then you get into one of those big rugby scrums, and it looked like there were 11 offensive players, 11 defensive players, all in one big scrum. The offense was not going to let that play stop until Elton Jenkins got into the end zone. Elton Jenkins does push the pile into the end zone. He gets the touchdown. And that was the final play of practice. It was a big guy touchdown for Elton Jenkins. Johnny on the spot, getting the reception off the deflection, and then keeping his feet moving to get himself in the end zone. Fun play to end practice. Gotta love Elton Jenkins, of all people, with the touchdown. All right, a couple notes here that I do want to go over. The first is Tucker Kraft. I've been pretty adamant going back to last year. I think Tucker Kraft is in for a massive season. I think what he did at the end of last year was unbelievable. How he really came into his own as a well-rounded tight end, especially where he was at the beginning of camp. He unfortunately had the injury to start camp this year, which is why it's been a quiet camp for him so far. He showed off everything that I was expecting in this practice. The burst, the blocking, the run after catch ability, all of it. Good hands. The tight end screen was working. He is going to be a difference maker at tight end for this team. And I do believe long-term, he is going to be the better tight end of the two. It doesn't really matter. I think they're both going to be good, but I think Tucker Kraft is going to be an absolute stud in this offense. I think the sky's the limit for him, and he is showing now once again what we started to see at the end of last year, and even better, he looks spry, he looks fast, quicker than I certainly remember him last year. I could not be more excited about Tucker Kraft going in to year two. I think he is in for a big career, and I think we're going to see a better Tucker Kraft even than we saw at the end of last year. Meanwhile, right guard, Jordan Morgan still not doing team. It sounds like there's some hope that he might be able to do team drills on Thursday. But in the meantime, it is not just Sean Ryan at right guard. Jacob Monk getting time with the ones at right guard. It seems that this is no longer a two-person race, that this is just between Sean Ryan and Jordan Morgan. It seems that Jacob Monk has entered the chat as somebody who could potentially be in this conversation as well. Who ends up starting week one? I still think that there's a good chance it's either Sean Ryan or Jordan Morgan. I would be a little bit surprised if it's Jacob Monk, but great to see him getting those opportunities. And it means that the coaching staff is starting to trust him more and more. And that is a great sign for Jacob Monk moving forward. The pass rush. I mentioned the clean pockets for the day. Man, what a difference does that make for a quarterback and Jordan Love being able to get into a rhythm. I thought the offensive line and pass pro, actually all around, this was unquestionably the best performance from the offensive line in camp so far. And again, Walker, Jenkins, Josh Myers, Sean Ryan, and Zach Tom, the primary starting unit, they were giving Jordan Love all day. But there has been a little bit of a noticeable drop-off for this defensive line. Early in camp, they were just wrecking people. There was like guys in the backfield at all times. Hasn't been that way lately. Now, kudos to the Packers pass blockers, but need to see a little bit more from that pass rush. They were really getting after it to begin the training camp. Now it's been a little bit quieter. I want to see those guys bounce back. Hopefully they can do so against the Ravens on Thursday. And that brings us to everyone's favorite topic, the kicker battle. It's another tough day for the kickers overall. Greg Joseph, 2 for 5, 40%. 2 for 5, not a great day at the office for Greg Joseph. Alex Hale, not much better, 3 for 5, 60%. And then Anders Carlson went 4 for 5, 80%. That brings your camp and preseason totals to Anders Carlson, 54 out of 67, 80.6%. Greg Joseph, 54 of 69, down to 78.3%. And Alex Hale, 14 of 21, 66.7%. Now, I have heard all I need to hear about the Mason Crosby comparisons. Everyone wants to start to say Mason Crosby's first 4 years in the league. Here were his field goal percentages: 79.5, 79.4, 75, 78.6. His career field goal percentage, Mason Crosby, 81.3. That's fine. That is fine. You know what? He had a pretty darn solid career in Green Bay. But guess what? That 80.6% for Anders Carlson, where he's at right now, that would have put him 27th in the league last year in the NFL. 27th. That's not good enough. This is a team that is ready to go out and compete at the highest of levels. We saw a major field goal missed at the end of last year. We all saw the writing on the wall all season long. And I understand that there needs to be sometimes room for growth and development and mistakes and opportunity to go out and continue to prove themselves. I feel like Anders has had a pretty good length of time now. And I get it's not a four-year length that, you know, Mason Crosby got, but he got the entirety of last year and he's gotten all through training camp this year. There's been competition out there and he was right around 80% in camp last year. He was 80% in the season. Now he's 80% in camp again this year. This is just right now what it feels like Anders Carlson is. Is it completely devastating, 80.6%? No. Does it need to be better? Yes. And I think it's fair to call that out. There were 11 kickers in the NFL last year that made over 90% of their kicks. There were 18 that made 85% or more and 22 that made 83% or more. So there are good kickers out there. And right now, I don't necessarily feel like Green Bay has one of them. 80.6, like I said, that would have put him at 27th last year. Are you just okay? going into this year with the 27th best kicker because I don't think Green Bay should be. Now, I understand there's not a perfect solution out there. Cade York, Austin Seibert, Matthew Wright, Narvison for the Titans, Charlie Smith for the Saints. There's not a completely perfect option out there that Green Bay can just say, yep, that's going to be our guy. Joey Sly for New England. There's no guarantee that it's better than Anders. I think it's probably a coin flip right now between somebody on the roster and somebody not on the roster. I could easily see them going in a different direction. But I do think that this isn't just one practice. This is what we've seen from Anders really for over a year and a half, or a year since he's been on the team. We'll just put it that way. And I mean, if I'm at fault for wanting better than that, I'm sorry. I think Green Bay can continue to try to find better. And I think Green Bay has stated very clearly that they want to find the best kicker possible. They have had three kickers taking up roster spots through the entirety of training camp, or at least the vast majority of training camp. They are looking and searching to try as much as they can to find somebody that can be that guy. I just don't know that they found him yet. And Joseph is having a massive cold streak right now. Alex Hale, 14 of 21, 66.7%. He does not look like the answer. And Anders is just simmering right around where he's been. And if that's good enough for Green Bay, then he'll be on the roster. He's young, and you hope he continues to get better. And I do think there's a chance that he's still the guy. But if it's me, I'm looking around still. I'm not satisfied. And I don't think this is just a one-day thing. Yeah, it was 80% at practice. 4 or 5. It's not the end of the world by any means. But do I think it could have been, another opportunity for him to show that he can be better than the 80%? Like, that's the bottom line. Like, you can't be below 80. That's a nightmare. And, 80 is right of, you can survive, but it's really less than ideal. He needs to get that back to 85, somewhere around there. There's time left. I hope he kicks well in preseason. I hope that there's a jump for Anders Carlson. I've been hoping there's been a jump for Anders Carlson since he's got here. It hasn't happened yet. This has been the consistency that we've seen from him. So yes, I think it is fair to feel like the kicker position is underwhelming. I don't know that there's a perfect answer, but I think it's okay to be like, hey, it can be better legitimately. And if there's an opportunity out there and Green Bay feels and Brian Gutekunst feels that a Cade York or an Austin Seibert or a Charlie Smith or one of these guys are potentially better, I think they will make that move. And right now, again, I'll say it one last time. I think it's a coin flip right now as to whether or not their kicker for the year is on the roster or not. One piece of miscellaneous news and notes, James Campen, former Packers offensive line coach, is now a scouting consultant for Brian Gutekunst. And well, primarily, it sounds like work from home. Rob Domofsky had the update on that. But cool hire for Goody, somebody that has been very ingrained in the Packers organization in the past. Hopefully that will help them find, I would think probably he's going to be doing some offensive line scouting if I had to guess. Hopefully that'll help them find even some better offensive linemen down the road. Can never have enough smart people in your NFL scouting department and just extra eyes to kind of throw some ideas at when you are looking at players like the hire for Goody. I think that'll hopefully serve and be fruitful for him down the line. All right, that does it for me on today's episode and all of the breakdown of everything that happened at practice. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mo State and Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Pauletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnoldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, Caleb Cookster, SoCal Pack, Dan Gesford, and Love and Football. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.